So on tonight's program, I'm going to be talking or continuing on the topic of the tarot card reviews. Now, last month when I started, we obviously started with card number one. And so we're just going to continue with that, this series until we cover them all eventually. Obviously, it's going to take a while because there's a few of them. Well, there's these 22 in the major cards, or arcanum, as they're often referred to, and as I interchange between the terms, because maybe some people don't know or don't relate to the word arcanum. And it's based on the works of the founder of the modern Gnostic movement, which is Samael and Vior, goes by his works and his explanations of the symbols and the teachings of each of the cards. So last month we did number one, the Magician, and I received some good feedback from the regular listeners of the program, so thanks for that, and big shout out to you all. This month it will be reviewing the card number two, which is the High Priestess. And I haven't yet put the image of this card up there. So if you're listening live and eagerly looking on the website, then I apologise for that. But by the time the recording gets there, I will have put the image of the card. Now, one of the more prominent features of this card is, or other than the priestess who is there, and we'll talk about her, is the two columns that appear. So they appear, one is white and one is black. And also underneath where the priestess is sitting, there is the columns again, but they're swapped around in their orientation. And this is because it represents a different view of the columns and the temple, essentially. So the priestess is seated right in between them, the larger ones, and then underneath in the lower regions, which represents the waters of life, there are another two columns. Now, each of the ones in the waters, you could say, each has four levels. And you can see towards the top of it, there's like four distinct levels to the columns. And it says that these represent the four bodies of sin. So the physical body, the vital body, the astral and the mental body. And to put it simply, this represents obviously the physical body we have, our energetic body, and also the vehicle of our emotions and the vehicle of our mind. And so in this work, a lot of what we're trying to do is elevate our bodies or our level of being. And we do that by understanding ourselves in the three brains, or more so the motor center, the emotional center and the intellectual center. So all of the bodies as we find them now, before we start this work, is actually of a lower energetic level than what we aspire to be. So we aspire to raise our level of being and also our bodies. And that goes into deeper subjects, deeper topics, but at the very basic level, that's what we are aiming to do within ourselves, but also in the school. The Gnostic school is about teaching people how to help themselves in that respect. So the priestess is there, and as I mentioned before, the columns are reversed because she's within the temple facing towards us. Now, this picture, you could say, represents our own inner temple. So we all have an inner temple, and obviously a lot of us aren't going to be aware of that because we don't really know ourselves and what we're capable of. But within this work, we realize that we are a vehicle. We are a vehicle for higher and greater parts of our being, and we yearn to realize that in this process. So the priestess, who represents our Divine Mother, is seated right in the middle, which is her rightful place. And this has a lot of significance because we work a lot with the Divine Mother, that Divine Feminine principle, which we all have within us, whether we're male or female. So in her lap, she holds a partially opened book that's slightly covered by her mantle. And this indicates that she has the wisdom. And as the book is opened, it is showing that that wisdom is available for those who wish to seek it. So she has that wisdom. She has those mysteries. And it says that she teaches the Kabbalah. Now, the Kabbalah, also known as the Tree of Life, is us. We are that. And to know ourselves, we have to know our Kabbalah, essentially, not just intellectually, but intuitively in a practical sense. So really, she has those mysteries. And the path of knowing starts with her. She's the part of our being, our higher being, you could say, our higher energies that we are the closest to and that will help us along our path and unite all those parts of our being. Now, it's interesting. Someone once told us in a class, may have been Paul Mofsession, who is a regular on this show, that when you go to a church and you see all the statues and symbols outside, and if often they have the apostles there, and if they are reading from a book that's open, it indicates that their mysteries are open to being learnt, or they are visible, you could say. But when they're reading from books that are closed, those mysteries are not yet exposed or available to within that church or temple. And so I thought it's interesting because in this card she has that book that's opened, even though it's kind of semi-covered by her mantle. She is also veiled. We'll talk about that because the veil of Isis is a common symbol, you could say, in esoteric studies. So her book is mostly open, partly not, or covered. So we still need to seek the mysteries and to work, to ask, to knock on the doors of the temples and to put in that effort and search for it ourselves. Often we have karma that stops us from reaching those things we want. So, for example, we know there's more to life. We know that we may have existed in other lives, past lives, but we don't have that experience. So, in a way, our karma can stop us from having those experiences because we don't have the merits to be able to see these things within us or to see that type of information. But the more we work and the more we show we're serious, then we see more things that are going to be useful to our work and to our path. So we need to keep working and asking for that help. And often pride doesn't really want to. So now back to the priestess. She holds upon her breast an Ankh cross, the symbol of life, the foundation, Venus, the Tao cross. And the cross is upon her breast, signifies the milk, which is the product of her breast, and it's the symbol of virtues. So that is kind of where she is focusing the cross on herself. Now, she is also seated, and this indicates her passive aspect. So in the first card, it showed the magician, he's standing, and that indicates an active aspect. And so we often refer to the masculine and feminine, or the positive and the negative, or the active and the passive. And we referred to a lot of those things also in the astrology series, where a card was like either negative or positive. So in this respect, it's working with those ideas, concepts, you could say. And it's hard to explain the active and the passive. It's not like a doing and a not doing, so to speak. It's something that we need to learn to understand intuitively, and I'm not going to really try and explain that representation in this card tonight. She's also in profile, and it shows her left side. And I was reflecting on this before the talk, and how with the magician we saw his right side, and that represented the other side was hidden, more aligned with the absolute or the unmanifested aspect that we talk about. And his right side is one that is more manifested and more able to be known. Whilst in this card she's facing the other way, which I just had a thought could possibly mean that is more of the hidden, unmanifested aspect. Because in next month's card, as card number 3, is the Empress, we see her right side again. And they kind of can seem very similar cards because they both represent the Divine Mother. But there's that differentiation, which I just thought I'd share that reflection. That was my own input something to think on when we're trying to understand all the different symbols and what they mean, because these symbols are a language that our consciousness can use. Okay, so the serpent on her forehead indicates she has reached mastery. She's an initiate. So a lot of the cards show the initiates that have the serpent. Not all of them do in these cards, especially the later ones, but this one is, she's a master. So she has the mysteries awakened in her, as we would expect from a symbol representing our divine parts of our being. Upon her head are the thorns of the sacred bull Apis, which is interesting. And the Divine Mother herself is often represented by the sacred cow. And there's 5 aspects to the Divine Mother which also relate to the cow as well, and we won't necessarily go through them in tonight's show, but they represent all her different roles that she is related to or responsible for in creation. So now a bit about the esoteric significance of the card. It says that this card, the priestess, is the occult science. So she has all the wisdom and information that we want, that we yearn for. And it's through her our path unfolds. Now, it's interesting that in the picture, it's got the 2 columns, the white one and the black one, and then she's in the middle. And so we know, and if we study the Kabbalah, that there's the path in the middle. There's the path of form and force, and in the middle is the path of equilibrium. So she is, you could say, the synthesis of that path in the middle, the path of equilibrium, of balance. She helps us to gain that balance within ourselves, because when we start this work, we're more or less imbalanced and don't know much about what we're doing or anything like that. The ego pretty much takes control of us, and we lack the consciousness to be able to live and act in ways that are true to ourselves. But when we work to understand ourselves and we enlist the help of the Divine Mother, then she can help us to see ourselves for what we really are and help to change. So, yeah, she has that wisdom. She knows us like our own mother knows us, but she knows us in all the 49 levels of the mind, which is more than anyone really could know about ourselves. So it says that in the area of the spirit, the number 1 is the Father, who is in secret. The number 2 is the Divine Mother, who is the unfoldment of the Father. So in regards to the columns, we have the white column, also known as Jakin. It represents the masculine principle. The left column, the black column, it, also known as Boaz, represents the feminine principle. So we need both of those aspects, the masculine and the feminine. It's not like we can do it all with the masculine principle. And so in any type of tradition or religion where it's primarily all about the masculine force, then it's not in balance. we need the feminine. Likewise, if there are traditions where it's all only about the feminine, that is also out of balance. We need both those aspects. And without the number two, or the feminine principle, then you wouldn't, nothing in creation would exist. We'd still all just be in the absolute and not conscious of anything. And creation probably wouldn't exist as it does here and now. And so without that too, then none of the other numbers are going to exist. So that too is really important. It's not secondary at all. It is just the unfoldment of the number one. And it's the two in essence that helps us to go back to the one on a deeper, more esoteric level. When we start to do the spiritual work in a more deeper way, we need to reunite those masculine and feminine parts of our being to regain that state, to regain that number one within us. But all the numbers are important and have their roles. And like, we have many parts of our being that we work to understand, at least in these Gnostic teachings. It's not just about one deity or all overruling force. We want to learn about all the different parts of our being that, when unified, become a one, but we're not unified yet, so we have to know what all those parts and all those roles are within us. We'll come back to that point. So the priestess is wearing a veil, and the veil symbolizes that the secrets of Mother Nature are hidden, and only the initiate achieves the unveiling after incessant purification and meditation. We must be courageous in order to lift the veil of Isis. So this veil is what, if we're seeking knowledge and truth, then we want to know what's underneath that veil. And it's not given to us without some effort, because knowledge is power. And if we don't know how to use the knowledge or the power, then we're going to make possibly things worse for ourselves and other people. But we need to be ready to see what we're going to see, much like we have Neo in the films of The Matrix, which have been reviewed on this show, that when he is woken up from The Matrix, it's like a big shock, and, you know, he throws up, and it's just really hard for him to handle. And in the movie, they say, oh, you know, we never free a mind or free a person once they reach a certain age, because it's too difficult. Sorry, not saying that it's too difficult for anyone of any age, but just that it gets harder to break through that illusion of life that we have, and these preconceived ideas, to go break through that and to see the truth of things as they are. So it can be quite confronting, but for the true seeker, that is the only real path. It's truth or nothing, because to live an illusion is not really that satisfying for a lot of people. So to prepare ourselves to see past this veil, or to lift the veil, takes a lot of work, a lot of preparation. Our mind is so materialized that it's hard to really incorporate esotericism or spirituality, because it doesn't function that way. So we work a lot on the mind, as I mentioned at the start, with the four bodies of sin, working to have more of a solar mind, a solar way of thinking, amongst many other things. So we'll just take a short music break, and then we'll come back and continue a bit more on this topic. And this is a track, Jonathan Goldman, and we'll be back in a short while. Okay, you're back on the Gnostic Waves. I'm going through the tarot card number two, using the Egyptian Kir type cards or symbols, and I was just explaining about the priestess has a veil, and that we want to understand the mysteries to see beyond the veil to the true mysteries of life and death, to go beyond a belief, because all of us can have a belief. We're all full of them, and we can have beliefs about life and beliefs about death and afterlife, but what we really want is truth and knowledge, and that goes beyond beliefs, and really it goes into what we experience. So our own inner work towards that experience is the gnosis that we all seek and yearn for. Now, this card number two obviously unfolds from one, and it represents the dual manifestation in creation. So when the unity unfolds, it gives origin to the receptive and productive femininity in all of nature. So that femininity that exists wherever creation is. And again, trying to break those concepts of male and female and just understanding these as different types of energies that exist in creation within ourselves. But this continued unfoldment, as I mentioned before, is how we have unity in diversity, or as Samael and Vior says, monotheistic polytheism. And so it encompasses both. So monotheistic is just believing that there's one ultimate supreme ruler and that's it, whilst polytheism accepts there's lots of different types of deities and they all have different roles. But in these teachings, you could say they're beliefs that we have in the intermediate mind that there is a both. So we have the absolute, which represents the one ultimate source that we come from. Then each one of us has a divine father and a divine mother. And so one of the shows recently, it could have even been the magician card talk, where it says that there's just as many fathers in heaven or in the higher realms as there are on earth. There are as many fathers that exist in earth as as many beings that exist. And same with our divine mother, which is kind of really beautiful, because we learn that we all have our own being. We all have a part of divinity. We just need to become conscious of it and reconquer that awareness, you could say. Self-realized and hence self-liberated, because we connect with our true part of ourself. Yeah, so we don't understand all those diverse different aspects of our being. We can't leave out the feminine aspect, or we'll be cutting out half the truth. Like I mentioned before the music break, we need both those energies. So now it goes into imagination and willpower. It says that willpower is related to the number one and imagination to the number two. So if we recall the card number one, he had in his possession all the tools and things that he needed to accomplish whatever. So that's the card number one. He's got the will, the strength to be able to carry out a task of choosing. Number two is the imagination, is the feminine aspect. And without the imagination, if we have too much will, then we can be quite rigid and narrow-minded and just only see things in a limited way and you could say maybe a bit dictatorial, because you just want to get things done and just do it. Can't see any other ways that things could unfold. But with the number two, with the imagination, then we've got the ideas. There's possibilities. We can see possibilities with our mind. Now, too much imagination and we get lost in ideas and we think about all these great things that we want to do and can be done, but we have no strength or will or focus to be able to do any of them. And so we need that fine balance. Too much of one is not going to be that helpful and can be just as unaccomplishing. We need the right balance of imagination to have the ideas and the inspiration to do it, but also the right amount of will or drive to actually focus and make those imaginative knowledge to create something. And so when we see the willpower as one or masculine and the imagination as two, then together we are able to have that harmonious vibration to be able to accomplish and achieve our goals in life. It says that we need to distinguish between intentional imagination and mechanical imagination. And mechanical imagination is prone to fantasy. So this is a tricky point, which undoubtedly we've mentioned on the show before, but fantasy is when we just get caught up in imagining things and the ego, you could say, takes over, and we just imagine scenarios or things that might happen in the future and in a non-productive way. So we can get caught up in fantasy. The ego likes to get caught up in fantasy. So, for example, if we're feeling the ego of fear, then we're going to be fantasizing or projecting scenarios of fear. So, like, worst case scenario is something that fear likes to bring up. What's the worst thing that can happen? Pride. Pride can also, if we've gotten into an argument, pride likes to fantasize about what we should have said in that argument. And so afterwards we're reeling over it and thinking about it and just thinking about all the things that we should have said in that moment. You know, same with anger. Anger fantasizes about getting back, or, you know, how it could, what it should have said to the boss in that moment to get its way, get its own way. Each of the egos has its way that it uses the mechanical imagination or the fantasy. And what we really need to develop is the true imagination, where we're receiving images and ideas, because our being is trying to communicate with us, but the language that the being uses is different to the language that we use when we interact socially with people. But we need our mind to be receptive to ideas and imagery that are going to help our being and going to help us. And there's a practice that is recommended that I wanted to read out. It says, there's a key in order to depart in the astral body, which should be performed quickly in those moments of awakening from sleep. Upon awakening, you must strongly imagine any given place. Do not imagine that you are imagining. It must be done factually. You must feel secure about being in the imagined place, uniting the will with the imagination. It is logical that one will triumph if this union is achieved. Place the imagination into motion and walk in the place which is being visualized with faith. If this practice is performed without moving in bed, while working with imagination, which is feminine, and willpower, which is masculine, one can go to any place that one pleases. This is achieved through retaining the sleepy state by imagining the place and by walking with firmness through the use of willpower. So this is working with the astral to help us to go to places and to travel in the astral world. But, yeah, we can practice the use of imagination and will in any aspect of life, really, that we want to achieve something. We also want to work on the ego or work to understand the ego, work with the imagination to see something of ourselves. And then we use the will to actually, if we're trying to avoid certain behaviours or certain ways of thinking, to avoid doing the same things that we normally do. Yeah, so it's just something to reflect on with the numbers 1 and 2, the willpower and the imagination. So now, just before we go to the practice, I wanted to say some final things, is that the number 2 is vital. in ancient times, there was always a priest and priestess within the temples. There was a male and female master in the primordial masonry. Now, if we know anything about modern Freemasonry, then we know that that mainly it's just for men. There's also a women equivalent that women can go meet and do their own ceremonies or rituals, whatever it is they do, I'm not sure. But back in ancient times, then it wasn't segregated like that. So there was that balance of male and female, which we really find lacking these days. Just one thing about the Gnostic schools is that there is trying to achieve that balance of the masculine and feminine, really appreciate that acknowledgement of that both forces. We need the masculine and feminine in all aspects of life. It said that the eternal positive and the eternal negative are in electricity. So from that level, it exists everywhere. It exists in the atom, in the nucleus. We have the positive positrons. In the outer rings, we have the electrons, which are negative. So we need positive and negative for the atom to bind, you could say, and then all of the other molecules bind by those same type of principles. And essentially, the Divine Mother, represented in this card, number two, is the feminine aspect, is a crucial part of life and creation. We need to understand, relate to her, to that principle, also to our own masculine principle as well, which we talked about in the card number one. But we need both those forces to truly understand the whole picture of creation. So we'll go to another short music break and then we'll come back and do the meditation practice. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was another track from Ecstatic Sonics by Jonathan Goldman. And now we're going to prepare to enter into a meditation practice. Finding ourselves a position that we can hold for the next 15 minutes. One where our back is relatively straight without causing too much discomfort. Checking that the body is as relaxed as can be, as we can be consciously aware. Breathing fresh oxygen into each part of the body. Also, as someone advised recently, check our face, our facial muscles, that we're not holding any tensions there, not holding a look of concentration that is causing our muscles to be tense in the face. Thank you. feeling that oxygen that we breathe rejuvenating us on all levels. On the physical level, the vital, energetic level. The emotional and the mental level. In a short while, we'll work with the mantra O 3 times to keep out of the mind. And to be, keep our focus in the heart. Is the mantra for that center. So now, working with the mantra O. O. Again. Relaxing the body, mind and emotions. And in this practice, we're going to reflect on number 1, which is the will, and number 2, which is the imagination. The will, which is the active force, and the imagination, which is the passive receptive force. Reflect on the being that manifests the masculine part of the being as the active principle, and the divine feminine as the passive principle, just reflecting on that intuitively, not intellectually. Not seeing as one is more important than the other. Seeing how they work together. And each of those forces need each other, like with electricity. Positive and the negative currents or forces, and also have the neutral force too, but at the moment we're focusing on the positive and the negative. How they interact and work with each other. Trying to really activate our consciousness to understand these truths. And in a practical sense, seeing how we use willpower and imagination in our life. Are we prone to one or over the other? Too much will or too much imagination? Does our imagination turn into fantasy? Do we know the difference? We are out of balance in these two principles. How can we achieve that balance? short while longer. There's many different levels and ways that we can reflect on these principles. Hopefully the practice has inspired you to understand these teachings, these topics, in a way that is useful and practical for your own life. Whether it's to accomplish a specific goal or to understand how masculine and feminine principles work together. All right, that's all we have time for on the show tonight. Thanks for listening.